the Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. It will be the 16th running of the Flying Pig Marathon this Sunday, but it's more than a single event. The entire weekend is filled with activities. Joining me to talk about them is Executive Director Iris Simpson-Bush. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call in at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Glad to have you here. Tell us, this has been going on now for 16 years, and it's not exactly the same as it was 16 years ago. What are some of the new things that have been going on and that are going on this year?
Well, 16 years ago, we debuted with a four-person relay and the Piglet. To that, we have added, on Sunday, we have the half marathon. The four-person relay is still there, and of course, the full. Then Saturday, we have added a 5K, a 10K. We have an incremental program. Kids all over the greater Cincinnati area run 25 miles the weeks leading up, and they'll come down on Saturday to do their 26 mile. About 6,000 children. We love that program. It's award-winning. Our Piglet is still there. We've also added to the Saturday lineup a pump and run. People can pump and lift weights, and they've got kind of a handicap. They get to take time off of their 5K. And the new addition for this year is the Flying Fur. You see people out walking, running with their dogs all the time, so we thought it would be great to add a two-mile run for them.
So it's the owner and the dog, not just the dogs off on their own.
Correct, correct. And an owner may bring two dogs, but we found it very interesting. Some families will register three or four people to walk one dog, and that's just fine.
So why did you decide to add that?
Well, you know, again, people do exercise with their dogs all the time. P&G is a major sponsor. In fact, we say you can't have the pig without a P&G. Mm-hmm. And IMS is sponsoring the event. So just kind of rounding out our lineup. Our mission has always been to have an event for athletes of all abilities. So through the years, there has been some thought and thoughtfulness into what we will add and how to, again, accomplish that goal of something for everyone.
About how many people participate, in all the events, but in the marathon as well?
Well, on Sunday, we'll have about 20,000 participants.
20,000 run the pig?
On the Sunday event, mm-hmm. We'll have over 35,000 in the weekend of events. And we're in the top 20 largest running festivals in the country. Greater Cincinnati has a very vibrant and prolific running community, so people love the addition of the various events. We actually have so many ancillary things as well. We have a two-day expo. We're the third largest expo at the Duke Energy Convention Center. That opens on Friday at noon to 7. It's free and open to the public.
What's there?
Oh, there are exhibits. Of course, what you might expect, a lot of running lifestyle apparel for sale. But we do have demonstrations. We have massage therapists. All of the participants come to the expo to pick up their packet. And we give a lot of freebies. We call it our pig paraphernalia. They get a lot of swag. But again, most of the other exhibits are... It might be yoga. It might be cycling. Just health and fitness.
Now, that's just for the people that are registered or anybody can
come? It's free, open to the public. We probably have over 60,000 people come through there over the 2 days, Friday and Saturday.
So obviously, so many other things going on besides just the running of the race. What do you think it means to the city?
Well, I know that the economic impact has grown. It's significant now. Every year, it generates over $12 million for our local economy. And that was always a goal, to celebrate our community. I think in the running community on a national basis, we've become very well recognized, have a great reputation. We attract runners from all 50 states. The Netherlands just signed up, so this year we have at least 18 foreign countries represented. 5 of the continents are represented. So I think what it means for the community is certainly an important economic impact, but that since we get people to Cincinnati, we're not always a destination city. We bring them in for an event like this, and the compliments, the positive feedback is overwhelming. What a great town. So it's good for us, I think, on a lot of levels. The other thing the pig does, which would be the third part of our mission, is raising money for charities. We're a not-for-profit, a 501c3, that raises money for other organizations. We have over 220 charities involved this year, and part of our great pride and gratifying part of what we do is that they keep 100% of what they raise.
You mentioned 18 countries, runners from 18 different countries. Is there any particular country that's sending more than others? I mean, is there like a favorite country that sends a lot of runners?
You know, I'm not aware of that. I think Australia was pretty far. I sometimes am amazed why they come so far.
Someone's coming from Australia?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Wow. And so it does surprise us. I don't, you know, I haven't done that. Interesting question.
Just curious, how many different runners? And do you do a lot to market the pig outside of the U.S.?
We do, but I will tell you, I'm a firm believer that our grassroots reputation is what has really built the pig. But of course, we advertise in running publications across the country. We as a staff go to expos in the fall. You know, Chicago is a must-do. We go to New York, the Marine Corps Marathon. We don't typically go to Boston because it's just a few weeks before us, but we go to major events and set up a booth and take our visitor's guide and the information about the pig. People love our funny sayings. This year, we're doing, for example, Pigasso, let your imagination run wild. And it's a funny version of our pig. We've done wee, 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 run amok. My favorite is get jiggy with the piggy. Mm-hmm. We always have a theme. So people love that, you know, they can come in, do a serious undertaking. I mean, running a marathon is obviously a tough task. They put in hundreds of miles, hundreds of hours preparing. And that was one of our concerns in the beginning, naming ourselves the Flying Pig. Will people trust us? Will they know that we take the event seriously? I'm happy to say from year one, Runner's World has said it's one of the best run in the country. Managed, I should say. They're all run. But in any case, we've been very fortunate that the fun aspect, all of the additional support, and the spectators on the course. We affectionately refer to them as our squealers, but the police, the different municipalities we go through tell us over 100,000 people are out there cheering them on. Our visitors from other cities, other states absolutely love that.
I'm talking with Executive Director of the Flying Pig, Iris Simpson Bush. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 513-419-7100, or you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. You talked about the fun sayings and all of that. Is that, do you think, what sets the Flying Pig apart, or are there other things that set the pig apart from other marathons across the country?
Well, I think that the charity component, the not-for-profit, that was a fairly new model. When we debuted back in 99, a couple of things set us apart. I think the thematic approach to an event, again, adding the fun to a very serious endeavor, and the fact that we were a charity organization who's raising money for charities. We created a model that, again, was very unique then. We pay an organization for sending us volunteers. If you send us a number of participants for a four-hour shift, we can write a check to your organization. That's part of what we do. I think that model, the timing was good. It was very brandable. I mentioned that there was a bit of a risk with the name, but it's turned out to be perhaps a stroke of genius. You know, the pig has become well known across the country, and a standalone brand. I think Fast Company said that we were one of the best named marathons in the country, that we were an excellent brand, and they put us in the same category with Aflac, Southwest Airlines, and that little giant Apple. So we couldn't have been more thrilled, one of the top 10 best brands in the country.
Cincinnati's known for its hills, and there certainly are hills in the race route. Does that make people shy away at all, or do you think people like the challenge?
Both. I think that it does cause some people to shy away, especially if you're a first timer. You know, you're looking for a flat course, and we're surrounded. Columbus isn't, their world is indeed flat, and Chicago's pretty flat. But we always say, you know, Cincinnati's not the typical flat Midwestern city. We have a lot of people who PR here. They hear that it's going to be a tough course. They train well, and surprise themselves by doing the best time ever. We do have hills, no doubt, but we're not hillier than a lot of other marathons around.
Let's talk about security. After the incident in Boston last year, there was obviously a great concern about security and some new rules were put in place. Can you share those with folks, both who are running and who want to watch what the rules are?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. And I think these are going to be the standards from here on out. An event our size has to pay special attention. I would say our first responders, second to none. Last year when Boston happened, we were only 2 weeks later, and it was very frightening, I have to say. You know, for our part, we went into a police meeting that had already been scheduled, and over 60 different first responders from the 7 different municipalities we go through, FBI, Homeland Security were all represented. That meeting went for about an hour and a half, and the message to us was, you put on the event that you've planned, we'll take care of security. This year, all of those same precautions and measures are in place. You know, we go over 30 miles between the full and the half marathons, so every reasonable precaution is employed. I think people would be astounded the depth of resources that we have here in Greater Cincinnati. But the important thing is, come, support your runners, support the participants. Just don't bring backpacks. Don't bring a bag of any sort. We provide at the expo a clear plastic bag. Truthfully, you can use any clear plastic bag, but we'll provide them. We just cannot accept any baggage, anything that they want us to hold for them in anything other than a clear plastic bag. And even on the course and in the security areas, you won't be allowed to bring in concealed bags. So that would be the thing we ask.
So even a camera bag would be no good. If a photographer comes, they have to just bring their camera.
I did see some camera bags last year, and they're stopped and asked to show what's inside the contents. So I wouldn't say that you couldn't get away with a camera bag, but you're likely to be stopped and have to show the contents.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Jimmy's calling from Hyde Park. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Iris. You do a great job with the marathon, and I wanted to say that it's great for the community, and it's great for families and everyone. So please don't take my next comment the wrong way, because I don't want to come off like that. But what are you guys doing to reduce problems and the burden on the community with street closures? I live near where you have one of the parts of the marathon, and sometimes the traffic gets backed up and the roads are closed and you can't get where you got to go, whether you're going to a residence or a business. 1 year I was late to work because of all the street closures, and that's even with leaving a little extra time to get where I was going. And the only other comment I'll make is that the bike race they do in Hyde Park is far worse when it comes to street closures than your marathon is.
Ideas for folks that want to get around and...
Sure. And first, I would like to start with a thank you. You were very complimentary, and we do appreciate that. I'll be candid. We know that we're an inconvenience, especially to residents who don't have off-street parking, and certainly in your case, people who have to get somewhere on Sunday morning. There's that other thing of churches. A lot of people are trying to get to, you know, their neighborhood church. Jimmy, I think my only answer, I have to be transparent, there's only so much we can do to minimize the inconvenience. We just this morning did a course drive through with representatives, police representatives from all of the municipalities. We do put up, this might seem minor, but we put up the signs reminding everyone that we're coming the week before. I saw them all over the course when we were out today. We do send reminders in the mail. Again, these may seem minor, but trying to let you know for that one day we will be there. You may have to park elsewhere. You can go to our website. We do try to address road closures, give you pace times. We do have a rolling reopening. By that, I mean, as the last participant is going through, the police literally follow that, have a chase car, and follow that those participants to reopen the roads, the intersections that we've affected. So it's one of those things where we know we're an inconvenience. We try to minimize it by, again, letting people, make them aware of the fact that we're coming. It sounds as though you're well aware of our presence, and you even try to allow extra time. We're sensitive to it. We work closely with the police in those various municipalities to try to get the roads reopened as quickly as possible. And again, post the alternative routes and the ways you can get in and out. I will tell you, they tell us that no area on the course is totally landlocked. They can get emergency vehicles in and out, and they can reopen streets as quickly as we get through. So I'm sorry. I know we are an inconvenience. I hope it doesn't sound insincere to say for that one Sunday morning, it does so much good for our community and for so many worthwhile causes, and it gives so many people the opportunity to accomplish a goal. I hope that you can find it within you to bear with us, and we try to be sensitive to that.
Jimmy, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment today. You talked about the people watching. Are there particular places that are better to watch from than others, or can people watch from anywhere along the route?
Well, you know, they're public streets, so essentially I guess we could say you could watch from anywhere. I'd like to mention what we know are some of the best places. The start is a really bad place for spectators. There's just no room for them, and they don't really get a good view. We're gratified to say now that the Logger House is there, they don't normally do breakfast, but open on race morning at 6 a.m. To go to the Logger House, it's a very reasonable breakfast. There are big screen TVs, and you can watch the broadcast. But if you look out their windows and you're on that lawn, it's a great view of the start. You can literally see every participant go by. It's got a very scenic view of them crossing the Taylor Southgate Bridge into Northern Kentucky. That's a great viewing place. And if you have text messaging set up, you'll know when they're finishing, and you can just walk a block and greet them at the finish as well. That would be one suggestion. There, certainly in O'Brienville is a great area to watch. We're told that Hyde Park and Marymount are so crowded that the spectators are almost more of a traffic inconvenience than the participants. But those areas all have lots of parties, lots of things going on. We try to plan entertainment along the course. There are over 100, I think it's 137 entertainment zones. They're bands, garage bands, scream teams, cheering sections. We have a spirit contest for those who come out, and it can be, you know, residents of the community. It can be a high school, a grade school, church organizations do it. They sometimes have thematic scream teams, and we have judges who go along the course. Your community, your organization can win $500 for being the most enthusiastic, the ham it up. So
ham it up. There you go. We're just about out of time. If people still want to run, is it too late to register?
No. Registration is open for all events. You can register online. You can register at the expo on Friday for the Saturday events. The Saturday events down at Yateman's and near the Logger House. You can register there early Saturday morning for all of the events.
Thank you so much for joining me.
We appreciate you having us. Thank you.
We've been talking about this weekend's Flying Pig with Executive Director Iris Simpson-Bush. In a moment, renowned wildlife artist John Ruthven joins me. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.